Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Who is with me this evening?
Hello, my name's Jay. Jay Cross, how's it going?
Hello, my name's Matt. And I'm coming from the other side of England?
The M23.
there's a small motorway in between us. And hello, I'm Joe Branton. I'm here for bass-related queries.
Isn't it good to be back, chaps?
It is.
It's good to be back on bass-related queries. I don't have to worry about like guiding these chumps around anymore.
Yeah, it's me in charge.
I guess it's funny because you say it's the first Guitar Nerds podcast, but it's not the first podcast we've done, but it's like the first of a new era. It feels exciting.
For those just joining us, this is a podcast about guitars and being nerdy about guitars and all of the cool things that we love about guitars, amps, pedals, bass guitars, acoustic guitars.
We like strings and power supplies as well.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about pedals, I think. So as this is the first one of a new podcast, I guess, we should sort of introduce... Like, we all did a podcast before when we were working for a retailer, and we are now back together again to talk about guitars. Yeah. And just to explain, Matt is a former Brightonian who is now living north of the M25.
North of the wall.
So you're joining us on the internet.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how long the delay is so that I don't talk over people or you talk over me.
Well, you're sounding good at least, so we'll try not to talk over you, and feel free to
jump in. Why do I not sound good?
Well, I mean, you've always sounded great, but the internet is not hampering that in any way. So we'll talk about, hopefully over the coming weeks and months, on a weekly basis, we're going to talk about guitars, new releases, we'll review some stuff, we'll talk about what we've been playing, the new stuff on the market, things that have just come out, and mainly we'll be answering your questions. Now, for a while we've had a Facebook group running, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group, where people, lovely people, submit questions and talk about stuff. So I thought, as a way to kick off, let's take some questions from the group.
Sounds wonderful.
Sounds good to me.
So, first up, Scott says... we finally have a bass player. He's talking about his band. He doesn't currently own a bass. Any views
his
on
bass player?
Yeah, doesn't own a bass.
Okay.
Any views on the best budget bass / bass amp combo for a sort of folk rock, folk off band? We need some proper low end to balance out the plinkier instruments.
Firstly, I really like the name of the genre folk off. I think that is that's definitely a good one. This is quite an easy one, I guess. We've banged on about really good budget basses for a long time, mainly because one of the best basses I think we sell is the Squire Matt Freeman Precision Bass, which is, you know, sub £400. Oh, I know what you were saying. Which is sub £400, and they're absolutely brilliant. Kind of based on the 70s style P bass, maple neck. You can get it in like a vintage white or a black with a black scratch, a decent bridge, brass saddles, a great sounding pickup. There's kind of no changes you need to make to that, and it's really affordable.
See, for me, £400 maybe is not a budget instrument.
Oh, do you think?
I think that's you're starting getting to like your intermediate, your kind of out regular gigging type bass at that point. Well, say you had £200 or £250 spent.
I tell you what, that's actually a perfect price point to give us for this, because very recently, Squire have decided to. Now, I'm not sure of the reason, actually. I assume they're discontinuing it, but they do a classic vibe 50s P bass, which is based on the earlier model P bass before they introduced the split pickup. So a flat single coil in the middle of the body, a 55 P bass body shape. And that was just under £400. They're now retailing everywhere for around £250, which is a classic vibe for £250. And we've just seen a price hike by Fender and Squire recently. Everything's just gone up a little bit. So to have so classic vibe things that were £400, I think, are now like £450. And you're looking at £250 for one of them. That so that, I mean, that's my bet for £250.
P bass, classic vibe P bass.
Yeah. But of course you've got vintage modified. You've got everything in the vintage.
I really
modified.
Like that 70s vintage modified jazz. I used to have one of those, and
everyone in the world had one of those.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Matt borrowed it for a tour.
And Matt,
yeah,
and
then I bought the black one.
Yeah, you had the 77 reissue.
Yeah, well, which has got block inlay, isn't it, as well?
Block pearl block inlay.
Yeah.
Yours had black block
inlay. It did.
Inlays.
Yeah.
We're definitely back, gentlemen. We're talking about classic vibe and vintage modified straight away, and talking about how pretty much all of us have owned one. So.
I think we can actually stay on the same brand for amp as well, if they're talking like combo, because I think the new or new-ish Fender Rumble series, which has been completely redesigned last year, kind of based on Fender's acquisition of Gens Benz, they completely redesigned the Rumble series, and it now has very much the same kind of control spectrum that all the amazing American-built Gens Benz stuff had before. And you can pick up, a 500-watt combo for £300. Nice. I mean, I think, am I still on, but I think I'm on budget territory.
How much?
There.
300?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a budget bass amp, yeah,
so
definitely.
You'd be looking at like 550 for the whole lot. I mean, for a gigging rig, I think to be able to pay less than £1,000 for something that you can gig is pretty top-notch.
For bass, you've got to have something quite chunky. I remember buying a Trace Elliott Boxer combo as my first bass combo. And that was like 150 watts, something like that. 1x15 speaker in there.
So just about giggable.
Exactly. Yeah, it kind of got there. They were quite good. Like, Trace Elliott's had some weird ups and downs throughout the years, but I think those were quite good.
What, like the Tolex that just peels off?
Yeah, I mean, this didn't have that. This was like actually rugged.
Didn't I read that it was something to do with they changed to some form of glue that they were using on the Tolex that was cheaper and supposed to be, was masqueraded under the idea that it was more ethical, and it basically didn't work at all. So all the Tolex on a certain series of early 2000 Trace Elliott's just peeled off.
That sounds like something you'd go for, Jay.
Okay.
Ethical glue in amps. What were you saying, Matt? A bit of Pritt Stick, sort that out.
Yeah. Just no, that's probably what they were using.
Yeah, definitely. I'd hear that that's robust. I guess that would do it. Nice little Fender Rumble combo, and then depending on your budget, either like one of the classic vibes.
Yeah. I know that we're sticking with brands that we tend to aim at, but really there's nothing touching Squire for quality at the moment at the entry level. I mean, I think Schecter have done some really nice stuff with their Diamond series and things like that, but they're not quite as good as the classic vibe and vintage modified stuff.
What if you wanted to go active? So something with a battery in the back for a little bit more versatility.
Ibanez have kind of got it sewn up at the moment, I think, across the board, really. Their SR series, whilst I really dislike the look of them, and they're just so little and lightweight and horrible, but but for the active player, I think they're really good. I mean, you can spend, as soon as you hit the £400 mark on an Ibanez SR, you get Bartolini pickups, and you get a Jatoba.
I mean, that's pretty banal, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you hit like the £650 mark, you get Nordstrand pickups, which are pretty much generally considered to be the best pickups for bass. But even at the entry level, in like with the SR300s and things like that, they're like £250-300, and yeah, they're brilliant. The I can't remember the name of pickups. Is it MEC?
That's the Warwick one.
That's Warwick, isn't it? I can't remember what that. Or Cap. That's it. Cap for Ibanez.
So you got MEC, EMG, CAP,
and Bartolini.
Bartolini. Very good. So that gives you a few options, Scott, for your bassless bass player. I would say, yeah, I mean, the Squire, if you want something for folk off, you can really folk off.
Oh, yeah, it was for folk, wasn't it?
Folk off. So, yeah, let's go with Fender, Squire. That'll do the job. Chris says, and Matt, this is definitely one for you, wondering if anyone can answer this. It's about pedals like the Strymon Deco and El Capistan that have a mono input and stereo out. It creates a problem that I can't figure out how to solve. Let's say I wanted to run an L cap into the Deco. I want to run both pedals in stereo. Now I plug into the one that one input that the L cap stand has, but I can't run both outputs into the Deco because it again only has one input. So what do I do? Do I run the left output of the L cap stand into the input of the Deco and the stereo out from the Deco into both amps, and will they both then be running in stereo? Matt Knight.
Well, this is where reading the manual always helps, because they actually they've already thought of that. So they can have an expression pedal input. The stereo input is basically in the mono input, and you've got a little jumper cable inside, and you just buy a TRS to dual mono, and then that means you can patch together all those cables, all those pedals. So you go guitar in, stereo, well, dual mono out to stereo in, and then you can go stereo out. So there's just a little jumper inside, basically.
So how do you access that?
You just take the back panel off, and there's a tiny little switch, and you just switch, I think, from like 1 to 2, and then that makes the input accept stereo. So you can go dual mono to stereo into it.
Is that on the stereo? Is that on the El Capistan and the mono?
The Deco.
Deco.
El Capistan and the Flint and the Deco.
Right, cool. And I guess the Blue Sky as well? Or is the Blue Sky stereo in and out?
No. Stereo in. No. Actually, yeah, it might be on that as well. Anything that's got mono in but stereo out,
yeah,
it works on.
Wow, that's really smart.
Handy tip, read the manual. Like, it's so tempting, particularly with something like the Deco, that's you just want to plug it in and listen to it.
Yeah,
but you know, people like Strymon are hiding loads of cool things.
I mean, the other option is just buy one, and then when you get into an issue with it, ask us the question and Matt will answer it for you. I'd rather do that than read the manual, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, the Matchell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you could do that or just read the manual.
Yeah, you could do that, but please don't ask me these questions.
No, it's all right. I do find joy in reading manuals, but that's just what I do. Well, I know more than you boys.
I see that you've been building some pedal boards. You've been posting some stuff up on the group. Have you run into anything where you needed to get the manual out, or do you just know it all?
Actually, I was really sad today and went through all the settings on my timeline, and I was like, I want to create a DD3 sound. So what I'll do is I'll look up what the original sample rate and bits were on a DD3, and then match the hertz rating on the timeline to the hertz on the on the DD3, because I found out that the chip sample rate is slightly different to most delay pedals now.
It's slightly what?
That was the it's slightly different now. Like, they obviously, as technology's got better, the chips they put in delay pedals have got much better, so you get a much higher bandwidth, so you get a much cleaner delay, where the old Boss pedals obviously were sort of, you know, much older technology, so the sample rate wasn't. But on the timeline, you can actually turn the sample rate down and create like an older digital delay.
Gotcha.
Right, well,
Welcome to
that was sad.
Welcome to the perfect podcast for guitar beginners. if this is your first time listening and you've made it this far through, then be prepared to do a bit of reading, because sometimes it's guitar nerds, isn't it? We're nerdy.
We're nerds. Although saying that, halfway through Matt's description there, me and Joe just looked at each other and just like, what?
He's basically making an old delay pedal out of a new one that costs five times as much.
Yeah, I got that much.
Yeah.
On that note, Alex says, can anyone recommend a good delay pedal for around £100? I'm building my first pedal board, and for delay I've had a Dr. Tone analog delay, but it leaves me wanting more features like tap tempo, reverse, and just longer delay. The TC Electronic delay and looper and Boss DD have caught my eye. Any others that you can vouch for?
I think for around that sort of money, it's quite difficult to look past the Flashback.
Yep.
They're a little bit more. They're, I think, like 130 or something like that. It's a little above 100 quid.
It's around £100.
Yeah. But they're great. They don't have a tap tempo on them per se, but the way they get around that is, if you want to set the tempo, you hold down the switch for a couple of seconds, and then you can strum your guitar, and it will work out the tempo that way.
I forgot that they did that, because I've got the... I forget the name of it now. I've got a version... It's on my pedal board, just there. It's the version of the Flashback.
Yeah, the Alter Ego.
Alter Ego, that's the one. I'd forgotten, because I was couldn't remember how to do tap tempo on it the other day, and unlike Matt, I didn't get the manual out. I don't think I ever had the manual for that pedal.
Really? Did you just chuck the box away straight away?
Yeah, I got it. I think I got it off Matt in the end. So
so he's probably got the manual somewhere.
He's got the box.
In fact, no, I have got the box. Yeah, it's in the cupboard. I probably have got the manual somewhere. So
actually, no, wait. They don't come with a manual in the box.
There we go. That's why I've not read the manual.
Why who knows that?
You shouldn't know that.
Sorry, you can't know, Joe, but I'm going to guess it wasn't important.
I think that's a really smart way to get around, like having an extra, you know, pedal board real estate is so, it's such a hot topic nowadays, guys.
Totally.
I think that's a really good way to get around not having a tap tempo. And is that feature unique to TC pedals? I think it. Is it, Mac? You think of anything else that does?
No, I don't think that. I've never seen anything else that's got that same feature.
Don't they call it like a soft switch or something like that, where it's like almost like a digital switch rather than a hard like circuit on and off?
Yeah, it's slightly different to the Boss switch. There's quite a few things that have come out with it now, but it's not the same as like a Boss pedal, and it's not obviously like the same as Electro Harmonic. So I think it's like a dual function switch, but to be honest, I have no idea how it works.
I think it's more that it's sending like digital messages rather than being like, you know, like on a big muff, like an analog circuit on off type thing.
Clunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it somehow it converts audio to a particular like digital message that then relates it to tempo, but I don't know.
I assume it's just
exactly how it works.
I assume it's just picking up on like the like loud points if you're like strumming.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Yeah.
So then it's just like finding the common.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Great for live application of using a tap tempo.
Well, I mean, the signal doesn't come through. So like. Once, if you hold down the pedal, hold down the pedal, it doesn't it doesn't mute your signal, but it mutes like the pedal,
right? Gotcha.
So that you can go like chick or like chick.
How can you go?
You can go if you want a quick delay.
Yeah,
you'll go chick. And I'll just run through a slow delay for
you. Okay, right. How does the slow delay go?
How slow?
That's too slow.
Really? Okay.
Is that... Yeah, I'm not sure a delay could even do that.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, Flashback could do that. So anyway, we're saying that the TC Electronics Flashback is a very, very good delay pedal for around £100.
Yeah, I think they're great.
What's the what's the current thinking on the Boss DD series, which the Alex also pointed out in his email? What were we thinking on DDs, Matt?
I I mean, I love the DD3, but you don't have tap tempo or any of the other features. So I would say DD7's great because you can buy the optional tap tempo switch as well for that, which works out quite well.
Is that you just need a FS5U, right?
Yeah, the unlatching one.
Yeah, the FS5U. Yeah.
So essentially, what we're saying is there, you can make that a tap tempo by buying the kind of add-on.
Yeah, you do pedal. Need to buy another pedal for it.
And it will also, you know, those DD7s will give you loads of different delays. You've got, you know, even analog sounding stuff in there as well.
Is there a reverse on the 7?
Yeah, I think there's reverse, modulate, analog.
And then there's three different time signals. Delay. Yeah.
You have got tap tempo the same way you've got tap tempo on the flashback, where you can hold the pedal down for 2 seconds and then you can
tap the
button.
Oh, and then you kick it in, don't you? Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's quite neat.
And that doesn't cut out the delay signal, so you can leave that live all the time if you want.
Oh, you can leave what, the tap tempo switched on?
Yeah, you can just leave it going all the time, but then you've got no on and off for the delay. So if you just want to leave delay on all the time, then you can just leave it in tap tempo mode.
Why wouldn't you want to leave delay on all the time?
Well, exactly. That's why you have two delay pedals.
One's your like bass sound, and then just, you know, one for an effect.
Yeah, exactly.
How many delay pedals is the most delay pedals you've seen on a pedal board?
I think I had 4 of mine once.
Oh my god. I've just finished a tour with my band, and the band that we were touring with, one of their guitarists, the only pedals he has on his pedal board are delays, and he has 3, and that's it. 3 of those, a channel selector and a tuner.
Joe said, Matt, you've been to this. Joe said that one of the fellas on the tour had had a pedal board that had 4 expression pedals on it.
A bass player.
The bass player.
Yeah. He was playing a Fender Bass 6. It was a Dutch band called The Howl Ensemble.
So he was a guitarist.
Sorry, yeah, the guitarist was playing a jazz master.
Guy playing the bass 6?
Yeah, the guy playing
the guitarist.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The bass player, the baritone player, had was going through a Fender Bass 6, and he had 2 of the Mooga Fooga pedals on there, as well as an array of other things. What was the switch? The Octa switch.
The Octa switch, the Karl Martin Octa switch.
Yes, they both had Karl Martin Octa switches for their pedal boards that had wheels. They had to wheel in their pedal boards. But yeah, the bass player, there were 3 separate expression pedals controlling various things.
That's too much. That's too.
It wasn't too much. It was a sonic joy.
Wow. 3 expression pedals. Too many. Anyway, moving on. Strat says, his name is Strat.
No.
Good old boy.
Strat says, I have a bunch of pedals that I'm pretty happy with, but I was wondering if there was something that I could buy that would serve as an amp or preamp if the amp broke and I had to go straight into the PA. Something pedal sized, let's say, because I wouldn't want to have any hassle carrying it around. What's the current thinking?
I mean, surely M5?
No, really? Because it needs to have like an amp modelling. Surely, if it's going straight.
Oh, okay.
To
the well, okay. I suppose if it's got to be.
What was that Sans amp thing?
The GT.
No. The with Plexi thing. It was tiny. The Fly Rig.
The Fly Rig 5.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Matt, do you want to explain what the Fly Rig 5 was? Because I think that is a, if you're looking for a good small travel solution, that's a great option.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's really designed as an all-in-one just solution, so you can just plug in and you don't have to take your pedal board, or if you're like going on tour. So you've got what is it? The Sans amp in the middle, the Plexi drive at the front, and then delay at the end.
Yes.
So you've effectively got So you've got your overdrive section running into an amp section with reverb, and then going into a delay, which you can also use as a chorus. But because you've got the Sans amp in there, you can go straight into a PA.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. It's when I saw it, I actually couldn't believe how much stuff is in there, because it's definitely small enough to fit into like the front pocket of a gig bag.
Yeah, it's tiny, and not only does it have a lot on it, but they're all really high quality effects. Like, does anyone know how much they retail at the moment, roughly?
The Flyman? No, I can't remember. I'll look it up.
I don't work here anymore, so.
But it's I just meant generally, but it's still substantially less than buying those three or four pedals individually.
Is it like 239 maybe?
Which is ridiculous, because that's like the price of one.
The only problem with it is I find that they're about 200 quid. The only problem I have with it is like sometimes I really want to sound just like Richie Kotzen. and it doesn't quite let me sound enough like Richie Kotzen. Do you have any recommendations on for something that does this exact job but lets me sound like Richie Kotzen?
Any ideas, Matt?
What, the Flyrig 5 Richie Kotzen signature?
Why?
They've replaced the standard Sansamp overdrive with the OMG overdrive.
That's Richie Kotzen's signature pedal, isn't it? The OMG.
I just don't understand how they must have made it, because it came out straight away. They must have already made it, but why did they suddenly
maybe they made that first and we're like, we can't we've got to do something proper first.
You know who's popular? Richie Kotzen.
who is Richie Kotzen?
I actually don't know. Matt,
he's in a band called The Winery Dogs.
Oh, Richie Kotzen from The Winery Dogs with Billy Sheehan.
There we go. First mention of Billy Sheehan.
I mean, he has
a signature Japanese Telecaster with gold hardware.
He does.
It's like a 60s bound sunburst.
Yeah, really
telly.
Massive flame on it.
Yeah, loads of flame, and it's got those mini humbuckers.
Hot rails.
Yeah, hot rails.
Leading the way.
The Winery Dogs are the best band ever. He also doesn't use a plectrum, boys and girls.
Who would do that?
But didn't he? Didn't Richie Kotzen also have a signature Zoom G2 as well?
What?
He did. Yes, he did. You're right. He did have a Zoom G2 signature. Do you remember when they did that? A whole line of Zoom G2 signature models.
I think it was John 5 as well. Yep. I think John 5 had one.
He definitely did.
And George Lynch as well, he had one.
Yeah, maybe it was George Lynch, not Richie Kotzen, that had one.
No, Richie Kotzen definitely had one.
Did he? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. What other bands has he been in, JLC? You're on his
Wikipedia. I'm just thinking, he was in a band called Arthur's Museum. he was in Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah, there exactly. We go.
He replaced Paul Gilbert in Mr. Big. I didn't know that.
There we go.
He was on Wikipedia. One of his associated acts is Poison. He wasn't even Poison, was he?
He might have been. You never know.
I'm just trying to. I can't.
Look, it doesn't matter. He's in bands with Billy Sheehan.
He's all right by you. I introduced, talking to Paul Gilbert, I introduced one of my colleagues to the
to the video.
Video where he's in the spacesuit. It's just, and also then after that we watched the video where he shreds on a double bass.
Oh yeah.
Just, what a man. He's easily, I think we should actually do like an episode on Paul Gilbert, because like none of us are really into shred guitar, but he's the best one.
Yeah,
he's so,
so
good.
What about, Matt, you showed me that video of him, like, he's like, listen, check out this lick. And then he just pulls a rabbit out of the hat, or out of a hat, or something like that.
He's like, oh, check
out. He's got the best instructional videos.
He says something like, oh, check out this trick, or something like that. And then he, like, doesn't actually play anything on the guitar, just pulls a rabbit out from behind, like, out of his shirt or something. He's so good. So good. Anyway, so anything, any other options?
Fake F holes on his signature Ibanez.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean,
any other options for this kind of preamp pedal? Is there anything a bit cheaper that maybe just does the sort of? Because
what about the those Zoom pedal, the Zoom CD60?
That's a Fender acoustic guitar.
No, what was that? What's that pedal? The Matt, what's that Zoom pedal?
Oh, the MS100BT.
Yeah,
Matt, did you get that from Jay going, Matt, what was that Zoom pedal?
Yes.
I would have got there in the end.
The reason that I don't think that's really suitable is because Strat actually says that he's got quite a few pedals that he uses already. So is there something that's maybe like £100 that is just a preamp? I mean, there's a Sans amp, isn't there? Just the GT.
Yeah, there is the GT.
GT2? Is that the one?
Yeah, and or anything, any of the Boss pedals that have got the Cosm technology, you can go out from there. So anything like, if you've got like a Boss ME25 or an ME...
Oh, I don't know why we haven't mentioned
ME80.
Those.
ME80.
That's such an obvious budget.
Yeah,
choice.
I mean, the ME25
again,
is...
It's got quite a lot of pedals.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but... the reason that I was going down that route was a couple of their reverb pedals have got built in the Cosm technology. So like those Fender reverb pedals that they had.
Yes.
They've got the Cosm technology built in. So they've got the amp modeling technology built in there already.
So
you could go straight out of those into a desk.
Oh yeah, do you remember the bass man?
Yeah,
well?
That's
they
it.
Did that
the bass,
yeah. But technically, I mean, they weren't just reverb pedals, were they?
Yeah, the bass man was a preamp.
Yeah. So there was a 65 and a 63 reverb.
Mm. Well, is there a simple line 6 solution at the moment? Because obviously amp modelling traditionally has been like the realm of sort of digital. Line 6 are one of the big players in that. Is there anything that just does...
Well, that's why I was saying, I was thinking the M5, doesn't
Pocket
it?
Pod?
Yeah, Pocket Pod's an option. I mean, are we overlooking the 44 Magnum here?
Well, yeah, there was that as well.
I mean, there's always going to be...
There's no preamp section to that, though.
No, but I mean, there's always going to be a cab to go through. But there's always going to be a cab to go through.
Yeah, but what if your cab blows up? That's why, you know, going straight into the PA.
Like an acoustic show.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sans Amp GT2 is going to be the best option. I mean, it's got to be that... It does loads of different amps, like modelled amp sounds really well.
Yeah, GT2 is a wicked pedal.
All analog still, right, Matt?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because it's all analog like modelling.
Yeah,
like, it's all done with those little dip switches, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a weird
so
bit of technology.
Weird. How do they do that?
No idea.
Magnets.
James says, "Gentlemen, MXR GTOD opinions, please." Matt, MXR GTOD.
It's all right. It's basically just another Tube Screamer.
Matt's opening line for about 100 different pedals. It's just basically just another Tube Screamer.
But you know, I think there's so many distortion pedals and so many drive pedals out there. It's more rare now that you plug into something and you go, wow, that like generally sounds like quite different. And I just keep going, if you want that sound, why don't you just buy a TS9?
Yeah, I do. I have to agree with Matt. I think the pedal market is so saturated at the moment that you need to bring something more to the table than the GTOD.
Make it smaller.
That's a Tube Screamer. I know where you're going. And have you seen the commercial that Ibanez have put together for that?
No.
It's a guy trying to fit his Tube Screamer onto his pedal board and there's not enough room.
Are there too many Ibanez pedals on the pedal board?
There are lots of other brands, but there's conveniently tape over the name of all the other brands. Like, there's a Line 6, what's the green delay?
DL4.
But with like Line 6 taped over and stuff.
Right.
Anyway, he's trying to, and he can't find a space for the Tube Screamer, and he's in the basement of his house, and his housemate comes down and opens their dryer that's just finished a wash and takes out his shirt, which is now the size of a child's shirt, and looks all upset and walks off. And the guy with the pedalboard has an idea, and he puts his DS9 in the dryer, brings it out 10 minutes later, and voilà, it has become a mini tube screen.
That sounds amazing.
Actually their official commercial.
A video.
I don't think the Guitar Nerds podcast would endorse anybody trying to shrink down any of their pedals by putting them in the dryer.
Oh, well, more importantly, let us try it on video first and put it on the internet.
Do you think a Boss TU3 would survive living in a doing the spin in a tumble dryer?
So Joe and I did some experiments once with a
TU3,
and
they're supposed to be indestructible.
So they are supposed to be indestructible, but
you never gave
Joe
me
made a massive the... mistake.
You never gave me these as rules. I didn't understand. I thought it just meant as simple as they are indestructible.
So what would you do? Say you accidentally dropped your pedal into a pint of lager.
When we say a pint,
jug.
It was a 2 liter jug
the
of
plan,
lager.
So the plan was to basically immerse this in beer, dry it out, and then plug it in again. I am 99% sure that still would have worked, because much of the housing is like closed off and the liquid isn't a problem. It's only really like if you get something that's sugary.
Beer is sugary.
I know it is, but I think drying it out would still have been fine because it's Boss and because they are super hard wearing. I think that would have totally worked. Like, I've seen people spill whole pints of lager over a Boss pedal and they've been fine once they've been dried out. So
you didn't give me that.
Joe took the pedal, soaking wet.
Bear in mind, this was all filmed for a video.
Took the pedal, soaking wet, and then, including the battery which he'd left in, and turned it on. And unsurprisingly, it didn't work. In fact, it still turned on, but it just like had fried itself a bit, and it was doing something weird. So the real test would be, can we put a TS9 in the wash and then bring it out, dry it out first
in the tumble dryer
and see if it still works? Yeah, we tumble dry it, obviously, because that makes loads of sense. So what we've learned is, if you ever spill anything on your pedals, dry them out before you turn them back on.
I certainly learned that. I'm really glad that those pedals were free.
Yes, courtesy of Boss, thank you very much. So we're saying, what, TS9 Mini, the brand new one, is the one to go for?
Oh, well, yeah, it's definitely a great pedal. I don't care about it being smaller.
But it isn't a TS9.
It's an 808.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Have you AB'd them? Has anyone like had an 808 and the
808? No, not yet.
Matt?
No, I might do that tomorrow, actually.
Have you got one? Did you buy one?
No.
Oh, right, okay, fine. You just got access to one.
I've just got access to one.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, fine. So, I'll be curious. Let's come back next week. Maybe we should do an episode on tube screamers and other tube screamer-esque pedals.
Could be like 5 minutes long, though.
Why? There's a lot out there.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, Green Mile?
There is. There's a lot.
I have one of those for a while.
Yeah, they're a great little pedal. There's loads of options. I reckon we could do a whole thing on that. And or just different, like, overdrives that fill the same space on people's pedal boards.
Game-based overdrives.
Exactly. Like cleaner drives.
Yeah.
Like something that pushes. Phil says, any suggestions for ebony-necked guitars? Like my Gym Root Tele, but less of a metal player's machine. Can't afford custom shop, though, sadly. So I guess he means ebony fretboard rather than ebony neck.
Yes.
Any ideas?
I don't think there's anything, is there?
What?
Not with an ebony fretboard, that's like really rare. Even by Gibson standards, there's barely anything that comes with an ebony fretboard.
Do ESP... I know they're not like... They're still kind of metal-y, I guess, but some of the ESP stuff, I think, comes with an ebony board.
I think there are some ESP bits and bobs that come with an ebony board. I tell you where to go for that sort of thing. Actually, one of the bands that I was on tour with, a band called Lost in the Riots, their guitarist was playing his new Warmoth Tele, with that he'd had done with an ebony board. It was very similar to the Jim Root. But he reckons it cost him less than an American Jim Root Tele, and it was white, it was bound, it was single coils with black hardware, so differed from the Jim Root in that sense. But a compound radius ebony board on there, and he reckons he paid about £700 for all the parts. Of course, you do still have to put the Wellmouth together when you get them shipped across, but I think that is, Wellmouth must be one of the best options for getting unusual things like that.
Yep.
The thing I love about Wellmouth is if you're picking something for your fretboard, as if you're picking neckwood, bodywood, or whatever, you don't just have like rosewood, maple, or ebony. You've already got maybe five,
Soprano.
Six. Yeah. That, I mean, you've got loads of different types of rosewood, from like pau ferro to sort of some of the darker Brazilian things, and there's so much choice. So I think if you want something really specific and you want to be this specific about ebony, for me, I've always been unsure about ebony because rosewood's soft and maple's hard and ebony's hard. So then ebony is the same as maple.
That's, I mean, they've got a similar sound, I think, but I still think that ebony definitely has a different feel, and I also think you get like faster attack from it. There's definitely like something a bit more springy and lively about ebony.
I guess it's
definitely not like rosewood in any way. Just because it's a dark wood doesn't necessarily mean
that. It's a million miles from that. I think it's probably just as a bass player, I don't think we virtually don't come into contact with ebony.
That's true.
So I probably don't know that much about it. But it always just seemed to be on spec from what people talk about the features being of ebony. If you would just read them off without hearing what wood it was, I'd think it was maple that you were talking about.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I would say that if you like how the Jim Root feels and you want something a bit less metal, why not just get another Jim Root and change the pickups? Like, go for something that's a bit more versatile, something that you can core tap, something like maybe like a bare knuckle, you know, PAF style pickup, because those Jim Root guitars are amazing. And if you wanted a versatile telly, I mean, that
it's a really odd request actually to want an ebony board and want something less metal, because ebony is a wood that is just so solely
totally lends itself to it.
Yeah exactly.
Matt, anything that you can think of, or are we thinking that those are the best option, either a custom build or replace the pickups in a Jim Root?
I think the custom build is probably the best way to go, just because you could, like Joe says, you can have absolutely anything: neckwood, fretboard, radius, you know, neck width. I've had a couple of Wellmouth necks, and they've always come out like absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So it's probably the best option, really.
I quite fancy getting a rosewood necked P bass with an ebony board, just because
what?
I really like the
That's
feel
ridiculous.
Of the rosewood neck on the back, but I really like the zinginess of the ebony. That would be awesome.
I don't know why I do this podcast.
Sai says, does anyone know if I can use my Blackstar HT1 solely through the headphones? Do I need the cab connected? What's the deal?
What is the deal?
No.
What, you need a cab connected?
No, it's it automatically, I think, as soon as you plug the headphones in, it disconnects the cab.
Okay, are we certain about that before someone blows something up?
I could recommend reading the manual.
Very good, very good. I think,
if you don't want...
Go on.
But yeah, if you don't want to do that, then plug a cab in first and then try it without.
I think Matt's right on this one. I was shooting the demo videos with the Blackstar guys for this, and I'm pretty sure that was one of the big features of this, is that there's nothing complicated. You can just plug those headphones in and it will automatically cut the cab.
Because it's also, there's no, on any of those HT amps, they don't have a standby switch.
Okay.
But that's because the standby is automatically engaged when you unplug the guitar lead.
I thought it was because it was just 12 AX7s in them.
I mean, across the board, even all the way up to the HT like hundreds.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh right.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah. They don't have a standby switch. The standby is automatically engaged when you unplug.
That's a really nice.
So it's
feature.
Constantly in standby.
It's kind
until
of
you
idiot
plug in.
Proof. There's nothing more annoying than sharing your valve head with another band when at a gig where the other band have never come into contact with valve heads before, and they just crack everything off when they're finished with them.
Yeah. It's just don't turn the volumes down and don't turn the standby on. Yeah. I just got into the habit of that. Like, I always turn input gain and volume down and then turn the standby off.
Yeah.
And the same way, you know, it's just.
But also, Joe, this wouldn't help this if because the way you engage the standby is by unplugging the guitar. So if all they're going to do is go on and just turn it off, you're still going to have the same issue.
That's a really good system, that.
Oh, cheers, Blackstar.
I don't know why no one's thought of that before, just having the jack as the standby off. Totally makes sense.
And I'm with Matt on this. I'm pretty sure that if you plug into the back of the amp, it disengages the speaker.
I'm sure it will disengage the speaker, but the problem is, where does the load go? Like, where does the... where does the heat go? Like, that's why you get, like, something like a...
A cab clone,
exactly, because it's you've got to have somewhere to actually send that power.
I think with something as small as the HT5s and 1s, I don't think it's an issue.
I think what we're collectively saying is read the manual. Definitely read the manual. Anyway, that's the last of the questions. I guess it's time we should probably wrap this up. I should say the podcasts are usually going to be about an hour, but Matt's going away or can't do podcasts for a while, so we thought we'd get one where we're all here out the door.
To iron out any... This is like the pilot of Twin Peaks.
It is.
This was like a directionless pilot.
Yeah.
Do you think we can have like segments in our future podcast?
Yeah, we'll have news, reviews, emails.
Ooh, can I record some little like sound bites?
No.
Can there be like news and then, like things like that?
No, how will the reviews like... one sound?
Come and go review. Stuff like that, little sound bites.
No. Definitely not. Yeah, maybe you can. I don't know. Who knows where this is going to go? If you want to find out where this is going to go, best bet is to follow us on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. You can also check out the website, sign up to the email, mailout@guitarnerds.net, where you'll find hopefully more podcasts like this, videos, news,
not like this.
Reviews, features. I started writing something called The Pedal Papers, where I look at kind of old pedals, starting off with a favourite, the Ibanez LF7 lo-fi filter.
Oh, what a great pedal.
Indeed it is. So you can follow us there. You can also follow us on Twitter @GuitarNerds, Guitar Nerds videos on YouTube, or you can follow us individually. I'm @MarkRandom on Twitter. Where are you boys on the internet?
You can find me @JAYBN1.
Matt?
You can find me @Matt_Nightsy. That's Knight with SIE on the end.
And you can find me @Yosef_900.
Worth mentioning that we are going to be setting up a Patreon for the podcast and the site. So if you do want to contribute to making this podcast run and maybe buying us, you know, a pizza or some crisps or something for us while we record, we'll be setting that up. Also, we're going to have merchandise coming, T-shirts and the like. If you want to get a Guitar Nerd T-shirt, then those will
Tiaras, contraceptives.
Yeah, like the JLS condoms, but like nowhere near as attractive.
That would be so good. We could get each of our faces on the end.
Oh, God. And with that, I think it's time to say goodbye. Thanks very much for listening to the first ever episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Onwards and upwards. Mainly upwards.
Yeah, definitely upwards. Cheers, bye.
Cheers, bye.
Bye-bye. Ready?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
So Joe Branton.
Oh, I'm so glad that it's back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.